I was asked a question when I came in this evening about the use of microphones on Shabbos. And since we're about to enter a Shabbos this week, and since Yom Kippur is not only this year falling on Shabbos, but rather Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of all Shabboses, as the Torah calls it, a Shabbat Shabbaton, it's a great possibility for us, an opportunity to start exploring a little bit about the prohibition of microphones in general and the prohibitions of microphones on Shabbos, if at all they exist. Let's begin right from the beginning. Are we allowed to use a microphone this evening for services so people can hear better? After all, what does a microphone do in essence? It projects your voice in a better way. It amplifies it. The general ruling is that there are certain parts of prayer where you don't need to hear the chazan. If you want to hear the chazan, it's optional, but there's no real fulfillment of any law of the chazan speaking. From this perspective, we have to make a very clear distinction between two aspects of the prayer service. One aspect is where everybody prays together with the chazan maybe leading us, but there's no reason to hear the chazan's voice per se. And that, of course, is a part of the davening that if you want to use a microphone, there's no problem during the week. And there's a second part of davening where it's an actual obligation to hear the chazan. Without hearing the chazan, you wouldn't be able to fulfill your obligation. For example, this evening, we're about to say Baruch Hu. The chazan says, let's bless God together, Baruch Hu et Hashem ha-mevorach. And everyone answers, Baruch Hashem v'rach olam v'ed, blessed be you God. There you have to hear the chazan, because it's like a give and take. The chazan is asking you to bless God, and you're going to bless God. In the Kedusha, the chazan says, let's all say together, and everyone says, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. All those parts of davening, you need to hear the chazan. And the question is, when the halacha says you have to hear the chazan, you have to hear his voice, or can you hear his voice via a microphone, via some sort of a system that makes you hear better? For example, it doesn't have to necessarily be a microphone. Let's say a person has a hearing aid. He's not hearing your voice per se, he's hearing your voice via another machine called a hearing aid. What's the law with regard to all this? Rightfully so, people say, well, there was no microphones, and there was no hearing aids, and there was no amplifiers back when the Torah was written. That's correct. However, when the Torah was written, it did say that you have to hear the chazan's voice for certain parts of the service. For example, for the reading of the Torah, for the reading of the Megillah. For all these things, you have to hear the chazan's voice. And can you hear it via a microphone? The answer, and instead of going into the various debates, the clear-cut answer on this is one. If it's possible to hear the chazan without the microphone, and yet the microphone helps, allows it to be a little better, allows it to be a little clearer, then it's okay to use a microphone during the week. Once again, if you can hear the chazan without the microphone is there to help, then it's probably okay to use the microphone during the week. However, if we're in a building where without the microphone you wouldn't hear, you wouldn't fulfill your obligation. For example, you'd be reading the Torah, you'd be sitting in the back of the synagogue, the chazan would be way up front or in the middle somewhere, and you would not hear the Torah reading. In that situation, you cannot use a microphone. To sum it up, if you can hear without the microphone, then you can use the microphone. If you can't hear without the microphone, then you cannot use the microphone. That's the ruling on this issue with regard to a microphone during the week. Can we use a microphone or not? And therefore, in each and every synagogue, any rabbi would have to basically see, can everyone in the synagogue hear the chazan without the microphone or not? And that's the first thing anyone would do if you would have to go and explore this issue. So for example, here in the synagogue, we did use a microphone this year for Purim. For Purim night, we had a lot of people in the synagogue, and we felt that it's not a Shabbos, we should use a microphone. Of course, I checked if people can hear without it. And lo and behold, throughout the year, we do not use the microphone, and people do hear. Maybe not so clear, maybe not so good, but they hear. And in that situation, you are indeed allowed to use a microphone, and that's why we used it for the Megillah reading. That's one issue. The second issue is, can we use a microphone on a Shabbos and on a festival? And to be more exact, what is the prohibition of electricity on Shabbos and on a festival? Because there was no electricity when the Torah was written. And if there is a prohibition, then how does that relate to a microphone? Because as we all know, even though we cannot put on the lights on Shabbos, we use timers. And the lights go on, and we indeed read by its light. And that seems to be okay. So if the microphone went on via a timer, would that be okay? Needless to say, this is not a simple issue. And needless to say, the answer won't be a clear-cut yes or a clear-cut no. But in essence, in most synagogues around the world, maybe it's because of our sins, and maybe it's the best time to talk about it now between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the synagogues are not fully packed during the week. And therefore, the need to have a microphone during the week doesn't usually come up. When does the need come up? When is the need needed? On Shabbos and on the holidays, and especially on the high holidays. That's when the microphone is extremely needed. Many people cannot hear because there's too much noise, and the noise is not necessarily from people davening. Many people, for some reason, can't hear because obviously they're of elderly age, and of course their hearing is not as it used to be. And indeed, the need to use a microphone is great. Can you use it on Shabbos? So first of all, let's just understand that a microphone and electricity was not around when the Torah was written. The beauty of the Torah is that we take ancient texts and we apply them to every modern invention. If it's impossible to apply the Torah to the modern world, then the Torah cannot be fulfilled in the modern world. Our belief is that the Torah can be fulfilled in the modern world, and therefore we have to apply these ancient texts to the reality in the modern world. With that assumption in mind, let's go and see what is the prohibition of electricity on Shabbos, if at all. Once upon a time, the Torah said, you can't light a fire on Shabbos, and you can't extinguish a fire on Shabbos. Is an electric current a fire or not? There is a minority opinion that says it is. The light switch, everything, electricity in general, is like lighting a fire. Shutting it off, closing the light switch, is extinguishing a fire. It's a biblical no-no, and we can't do it on the Shabbos, nor the holidays. On the holidays, however, we are allowed to light a fire by virtue of transferring fire. Does electricity constitute a transfer of fire, or is it like striking a match? In general, this minority view goes all the way and says it's like striking a match. But it's a minority view. It's a minority view because it's very hard to see electric current as real fire. It's very hard to see it that way, and therefore, let's go to the second view. The second view says electricity cannot be used on Shabbos because we have an ancient rule that one is not allowed to build nor demolish on Shabbos. Two of the 39 forbidden acts on Shabbos is building and demolishing. This person understands, his name was the Chazon Ish, that electric current is very, when you put the switch on, you're building an electric circuit. How does electricity work? Either by having a closed electric circuit or by parallel circuits. Whatever happens when you close the switch, and let's take into consideration, for example, a closed circuit, when you close the switch, instead of it being a nice square, it breaks. Electricity can't go and it breaks, so it stays there. Then when you put on the switch, it's a nice closed box again. Turn off the switch, turn on the switch. Turn off the switch, turn on the switch. That's the way electricity works, for example, in the light switch. This person understands, when you turn off the switch, you're demolishing a building. When you turn on the switch, you're completing the building. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. This is a very questionable view, as everyone can understand. First of all, how can you say this is like building and demolishing? Building and demolishing is you build a building, you build a wall, you build a sukkah. You demolish a sukkah, you build, you demolish the shul. You're not demolishing anything. After all, it's made to go up and down and up and down. Secondly, even if you say that it's like building, then it's very much like an opening a door. When you open the door is open. When you close the door is closed. But it's made to open and close. And we have a rule on Shabbos that it's no building and demolishing if something is made to be opened and closed. For example, can your kid play with Legos on Shabbos? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. Why do you say yes? Correct. And to be more precise, you're putting something together that's made to be demolished and rebuilt. If you build a Lego on Shabbos and you're going to leave it there forever, there's a question. But in general, kids buy Legos to build and demolish, build and demolish, building blocks. You ever see a kid have a building with building blocks for more than half an hour? I'll give you a prize as a good father if you did that, because I can't do it. In general, it's made to demolish and to build and to demolish and to build. And that's in essence why this view is very questionable with regard to electric current. The third view, and the most established view, views electricity not as lighting a fire per se, or extinguishing it per se, but rather similar to what the Mishnah talks about when you take a flax or when you take a wick and you put it into, excuse me, let me rephrase it. It's like adding oil to a fire. On Shabbos, we have a rule that even if you add oil to an already existing fire, you're not allowed to do that. That constitutes the prohibition of lighting a flame. And that's what he views as electricity. Electric current is in the walls. It's all over the place. When you put on the switch, electric current flows in. You're like adding oil to a fire. When you take off the switch, you're diminishing oil from the fire. And according to this view, it cannot be done on Shabbos. Can it be done on the holidays? Good question. There's a lot of books on it. There is a minority view that allows it. Most don't. In essence, whether we look at it this way or that way or this way or that way, let's assume for the course of the conversation that electricity is forbidden on Shabbos. You can't put it on. But the 20th century invented something beautiful. They invented it for Jews, and if not for Jews, it's probably by a Jew. And that, of course, is a wonderful invention. We love it. We endorse it. And that, of course, is what? Say again, Sophie, louder. The timer. The timer allows me to use my light without putting them on. It allows me to use my everything without putting it on. I can use my air conditioner without putting it on. It can go on and off. I said it before Shabbos. So, what we have to deal with, God willing, is can we take a microphone, which we're not allowed to put on Shabbos, and put it on a timer, so that Shabbos morning at 9 o'clock when shul starts and the place is crowded that no one can get in, we should be so lucky, can we then use the microphone? Yeah. It's done by a timer. Can we or can't we? Of course, the answer is not simple, and God willing, we'll deal with it. Whatever it might be of the three interpretations we gave, using electricity in a normal way we use it during the week is not permissible on Shabbos. However, if you have a timer, it's totally permissible to read by that light. There's no problem. However, when you come to a microphone, it's not necessarily the same thing, and I'll try to clarify. With the lights, once it's on, you moving around the room, reading by it, hosting guests with it, makes absolutely no substantial difference to the light. The light stays on whether you jump around or you sleep. The light stays on whether you put your hand up or you put your hand down. Nothing changes with the lights. Nothing changes with the air conditioner. Nothing changes with the fan. What happens with the microphone? With the microphone, most microphones, I'm telling you now, most, not all, while you're talking, if you happen to raise your voice a little, the microphone all of a sudden has to also amplify your voice a little more. So what happens is you raise your voice, the amplifier now goes up also. You're creating new electric circuits as your voice goes up. Or, at the very least, if you're not creating new electric circuits, then you're definitely engaging in an act in which you're either adding or subtracting from an electric circuit. Namely, to sum up this, while you're talking, things are changing. As opposed to the light, that's stationary and what you do has no relevance, with the microphone, while you're talking, things are changing. This is definitely true with most microphones. However, there is a microphone that if you set it before Shabbos and you put it on a timer, then while you talk, it stays at the same level. You go up, you go down, it doesn't move. Is there such a microphone? According to many sources and inside information, they are creating such a microphone. And maybe it's even in use in some shuls. A microphone that while you talk, nothing changes. It's the same amplifier, putting in the same electric current. You talking makes no difference. That microphone, from an electricity point of view, would be permissible. Yeah?
The microphone that you had at the cemetery, mm-hmm. Can that be used?
A microphone that I had at the cemetery has to be checked internally to determine if while I'm talking, something's changing inside. That's basically the issue. If something changes inside it, in terms of electricity, while you're talking, then you're changing it and that's not permissible on Shabbos. Now, this doesn't even go into the next issue, and that is the issue of a rabbinic decree with regard to noise on Shabbos. And that's something we'll discuss in a moment, but there's a question. Yeah.
you mentioned a second ago that light was permissible because it was turned on before Shabbos or on a timer, because it wasn't affected by your emotions, movements, whatever. And you said, I think you mentioned air conditioning as well. Well, I don't know if that's, if you put 50 people in a room versus 5 people in a room, it will affect the air conditioning coming on or coming off because of the body. It will drastically affect
you. A very good question. That is, what's the difference between an air conditioner and once you have 5 people in the room, it doesn't really have to do anything, versus 50 people in the room? The answer is how much is my movement affecting the air conditioner? And I'll tell you what I mean. In general, everything we do in some way or another influences when we talk about an air conditioner, when we speak about an oven, and when we speak about a refrigerator. If it's the refrigerator, the minute you open up the door and the refrigerator senses that hot air is going in, that will make the thermostat sensitive and will make it go in and the motor will start working in order to ensure that the cold air retains. The question is, how much is my movement making the difference? If my specific movement is making a direct or difference, then it's biblically forbidden. If it's making an indirect difference, like opening up the oven has to sense that cold air is going in, and then the thermostat's going to pick it up in order to make it up to the heat that it needs, then it's indirect, maybe, and therefore, it's rabbinically prohibited, called gerumah. However, there's a third element, and that is, it's an indirect of an indirect, which according to most authorities is exactly the scenario in our contemporary ovens and in refrigerators, in our refrigerators, not in our ovens, and therefore it would dictate basically that on Shabbat we can open a refrigerator, according to most. We are not allowed to open up an oven, because there it's indirect, and here it's an indirect of an indirect. Air conditioner is no different. The air conditioner works, and it takes a while till it senses it, and then it's going to perk up the thermostat, and then ultimately it will bring it up, and more electric current would work. That is a different situation than an indirect or even a direct action. When it comes to microphones, it is assumed that the minute your voice goes up, the microphone will work harder, and that's direct. When it goes down, it will work less harder, indirect. So therefore, both are prohibited on Shabbat. However, they did create a microphone which works on the assumption of an indirect motion. It means that it removes it once from yourself, once removed, which would probably make it rabbinically prohibited. However, some assume that because it's indirect and it's rabbinic, because we're talking about a great need of the public, great needs of the public sometimes override rabbinic prohibitions, and therefore there's what's called a kosher microphone. I don't necessarily believe that this is one of the cases that it's indeed a great need, simply because Jews have managed without it, not to mention the fact that when you speak about a great need that overrides a rabbinic prohibition, it's obviously a need that can't be alleviated in any other way. In this case, having a shul that's very large, all you got to do is ensure that those with good hearing sit in the back and those with bad hearing sit in the front. Why violate even a rabbinic prohibition, if that's all that there is, in order to assume that this great need will be taken care of, if indeed it could be taken care of in other ways? Secondly, I don't know if this is called a great need, because a great need is usually a sickness or something of that nature. Here, you don't hear too well. Well, there's certain parts of davening you need to hear, and there's certain parts of davening you don't need to hear. And indeed, if God put upon you this basic difficulty of hearing, the question is, how much do you have to go in order to alleviate the need? You know, with a contemporary hearing aid, sometimes things can be taken care of, which is also an issue on Shabbos, but there it's much less of an issue. Therefore, to allow a microphone seems a problematic thing. Finally, I'd say, there's a third issue, and that is image. On Shabbat, especially, but throughout Jewish law, we have a notion called mar'it ayin, which means that it's forbidden for someone to think that you're doing something wrong. And therefore, even if you're doing something right, but others will think you're doing something wrong, you can't do it. What's the typical example? Let's say this kosher pig. It's fake pig. And you're eating it. People walk by and think you're eating pig. So the law dictates you have to put the wrapper on the table so people know that it's not pig. Well, for example, you're putting some milk into your coffee at a meat meal, but it's parva milk. The law would dictate that you need to at least leave it on the table in order for people to know that you're drinking parva milk. I would say the same thing goes here. People are going to come into a shul, they're going to see a microphone, which is very much identified with so-called branches of Judaism that do not adhere to Jewish law, and they'll think you're one of them. You don't adhere to Jewish law either. And even though you might be doing everything right, it's a kosher microphone, it's built on good halachic sources, people will think that you're doing something wrong. And the image is very important in Judaism. It's not just what will people think, but more importantly, it's one of the tenets of Judaism, and that, of course, is to ensure that no one thinks that you're doing something wrong. And therefore, in this congregation, we do not have a microphone on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. I find it very problematic halachically, but I also find it to be problematic in the halachic realm of image, which is not only important throughout Jewish law, but specifically on Shabbat, the sages were very worried about it. The reason is probably very simple. If you violate any law in the Torah, you're a sinner. If you violate Shabbat, God forbid, you're considered a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. You're considered as if you deny the entire Torah, because you don't agree to the basic tenet of Judaism that God rested on the seventh day. And therefore, on Shabbat, the sages made a few more enactments in this realm. The most known, of course, is using a covered fire on Shabbat, known as Mechzei Kemevashel, or Shemei Yechateh BeGechalim, in which it's important not only that you don't cook and all you do is warm up food that's permissible, but that others will think that all you're doing is warming up food as well. Therefore, we do not use a microphone with all the difficulties. And as time goes on, maybe they will create a microphone that will be 1,000% kosher and will eliminate the problem in which people will think you're not using a kosher microphone that will be so acceptable upon the world where you can rethink the issue and, God willing, will be able to come to maybe a different conclusion then. Anyway, I want to wish you all a Gmar Chatima Tova, a good year. May indeed you be inscribed in the Book of Life on this Shabbat Shabbaton, on this coming Yom Kippur, which is the Shabbos of all Shabboses, which happens to fall out on the Shabbos on this year. And may indeed it be God's will that we be able to fulfill this Torah with all the difficulties, even of hearing it, and God willing, find solutions that we'll be comfortable with as well.